All right, I want to look this morning at one verse, and we'll read several others here, but we're going to key in on one verse this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Did I tell you what chapter yet? Chapter 3. All right, we're going to look at verse 3 as our text for this morning. We'll read some other verses in context here so we can understand what's happening. But verse 3 says, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart." This morning we're going to look at this thought being living epistles. Living epistles. Note here that Paul says to the church at Corinth, he says, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us." This epistle, he says, is written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. We're going to break this verse down and consider being living epistles this morning. But in the context of this verse here, we see the Apostle Paul, first of all, giving a defense of himself and his ministry to the church at Corinth, because there were some in the church at Corinth who endeavored to discredit him and discredit his reputation and discredit his ministry. And they were trying to give the impression, if you read back in the context here, they were trying to give the impression that all that the Apostle Paul did was to, and all that he said was to try to draw attention to himself and to bring glory to himself. This is what they were accusing him of. It's not uncommon for that accusation to be thrown out towards pastors by church members. You know, if he starts preaching the Word of God and it starts stepping on their toes and they don't want to listen to it, or he starts making changes and they don't want to follow and they don't want to submit to it, you know, the natural reaction is to start to try to discredit or bring accusation. And the accusation often is, well, all that you do and all that you're trying to do, you're doing it just to bring honor to yourself and to make a name for yourself. This is what these people in Corinth were doing with the Apostle Paul. They were trying to give the impression that all he did was for his own glory and his own praise. And so he tells them in verse 1, look at verse 1 of chapter 3 here. He says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you?" You know what he says here? He says we don't need or desire any human commendation. He says we don't need epistles or letters of commendation to you or letters from you. In other words, he says we don't need any validation of our ministry like others do. He's talking about some false teachers. And he says, you know, he says here, the motive for what we do, it's not about being commended of ourselves. And actually, his ministry among them was truly great, no matter what they said or how contemptible some would have him thought to be. Why? Because of verse 2. Note what he says. He says, you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. He says the Corinthians themselves were the real commendation. We don't need any commendation or letters. Why? Because you are actually our commendation. He says their lives and their conversion to Christ. You know what the church of Corinth was made up of? We've been in our series in the book of 1 Corinthians. You know where they came from, right? You know what their lives were? Their conversion was the real proof of Paul's ministry among them. And that's what was evidence of the fact that God was truly with him. He says, we don't need commendation of ourselves. even though some of you would want us to seem contemptible in the eyes of others, the reality is your life is our epistle. Your conversion to Christ is proof that the hand of God is on our ministry. They themselves were the real testimony that he was sent of God. That was the testimony that he delighted the most in. And let me say this to you this morning. There is nothing more validating and encouraging to a pastor or a faithful minister than to see evidence of growth in the hearts of believers. Paul gave his very life to these people because he loved them. And I'm telling you, there's nothing more validating to a ministry or to a pastor than to see God's people growing in the Lord. And when there is measured growth, spiritual growth, that is happening amongst the believers, and real positive changes that show a person is becoming more like Christ and letting God work in their heart, that's all the validation anybody needs. That's the proof that God's hand is on work and on a ministry. That's the real evidence of success in ministry. Over in the book of 3 John, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth. This is what Paul was saying to these folks. He says, we don't need any commendation. Your life and your conversion, even though some of you would seem or would want us to seem contemptible, your conversion is proof that God's hand is here. And so then Paul, after that, is careful to not assume too much to himself. And he turns around and gives all the praise for anything that's done to God. That's why he states in verse 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. Notice that? He says, ministered by us. Actually, he says, you're Christ's epistle. We're simply ministers of it. And Paul states here that he and others were only instruments used in the writing of this epistle, which the writing of that epistle was their life, the building of their life. Christ was the author of all that was good in them. And he says that the law of Christ was written in their hearts, and God's love shed abroad in their hearts. And it wasn't this epistle, this letter, wasn't something that was written with ink, but it was written with the Spirit of God in their heart. And then he says in verse 5, note this. He says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So he says, anything that is good, he says, your life is validation and proof of our ministry, but really, we're just simply ministers. You're epistles of Christ. And we're not sufficient of ourselves, he says in verse 5, to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. He gives all the credit to the Lord. And basically, he says, we could never have made such a good impression on your heart if it was of ourselves. We couldn't do anything for ourselves, let alone for someone else. And so Paul's pointing everything back to the Lord. All our sufficiency is of God. Therefore, to him goes all the glory and the praise for any good that is done. So he's giving a defense of his ministry to these people, some of these people. But then he's turning around and saying, actually, you're the proof of the ministry, but it's God who's actually doing the work in you, whether you see it or not. I want to talk this morning about being living epistles. What is an epistle? A letter. An epistle is a letter or something that one has written. For what purpose? Why would you write a letter? Would you write a letter for your own benefit? No. You write a letter for somebody else's benefit, don't you? Or you write a letter for another person. it's something that might contain a revelation of you or a revelation of your thoughts, a revelation of your feelings towards another. It might contain something about yourself, but either way, epistle is written for others, right? So Paul states here that these people in Corinth were the epistle of Christ, meaning that their lives were a letter of Jesus Christ. Written for whom? Well, written for the world. Their life was to be a letter of Jesus Christ to the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, wants to reveal himself. He wants to reveal his love. He wants to reveal his character. He wants to reveal his thoughts, his wisdom, his power to the world through the lives of his people. You following this here? He says, you are an epistle. Epistle is a letter. A letter is something that contains a revelation of oneself, but it's for another. And so God, Jesus, wants to reveal something of himself through the lives, the letter of his people to the world. This is the thought. This is where we're going here this morning. This is what Paul was saying of the people in Corinth. And so I want to talk about being living epistles, and I want to draw some thoughts out about a letter. We'll just take a letter, the idea of one, and what it's all about, and make some applications for us this morning. First of all, number one, a letter, do we have any markers here? There they are. Let me get this a little closer. A letter is something that is written on prepared materials. All right? Prepared materials. I sometimes write in caps, sometimes I write in lowercase. If you can read, I know this is Alaska, but if you can read, you'll be able to get it either way. A letter is something that's written on prepared materials. A letter is not written on just any old thing. I mean, if you are going to intentionally write a letter, you know, something that has purpose, say you're going to maybe write a letter to your mother who, you know, lives in another place, in another state, or whatever. Now we just email. But let's think of it back in those terms, in those days. A handwritten letter is something that's more personal. You're not going to write it just on anything. You're not going to, you know, go find a piece of birch bark out here in the woods and write your letter on it and then send it through the mail. It's on prepared material. A letter is written on a specific type of material that's been prepared and made just for that sort of thing. Now let me make an application here. Note what Paul says here about these people in verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone. All right, so the material, you know, maybe to that a letter might have been written on would have been a tablet or a pad of stone of some sort. He says it's not written on a table of stone. He says, but it's written in fleshy tables of the heart. We're talking about prepared materials here. He says it's not on tables of a stony heart, but on tables of a fleshy heart, those tables of a new heart. And he doesn't say not on tables, not on fleshly hearts, but fleshy hearts. This indicates the word fleshy here is the Greek word sarkinos, and it means soft. In other words, he's saying not on tables of stony hearts, but on soft hearts. If it was fleshly hearts, that would indicate carnality. It would indicate, worldliness. And carnality and worldliness is something that leads to a stony heart, a hard heart. Look at Ezekiel chapter 36 with me. The book of Ezekiel, if you can hold your place here. Ezekiel Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36, and look at verse 26 with me. The Bible says here, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." God says here that He would take away the stony heart of your flesh and give you a new heart, a soft heart of flesh. And you know, we think about this in terms of spiritual terms, in salvation. What does salvation do to the heart? Well, we know that 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that all things become new, right? And in salvation, God gives us a brand new heart and a brand new attitude and a brand new outlook. Salvation brings with it God's Spirit. We have a new spirit and a new freshness and a change of attitude when we come to know Jesus Christ, when salvation is real. Isn't it refreshing and a blessing to see evidence of real salvation on someone in the change in their attitude? There's a freshness to the Spirit, a newness to life and real salvation that just makes all things brand new and fresh. And you know, somebody who walks around with a rotten attitude all the time, someone who's always got a problem with this and always got a problem with that, always causing this problem and that problem, and their spirit and their attitude is just all the time. My thought is, they don't have a new, fleshy, soft heart. They got a heart of stone. Because God said in salvation, He would take away that heart of stone and give you a new heart that's soft. We're talking about these letters are prepared materials. God wants to save a person. But when He saves us, then He sanctifies us. What for what purpose? For what reason? So that we can be a testimony of God's love to a lost world. What kind of a testimony is it when there's just all the time? Right? Thank you. God's love needs to be evidenced through God's people to a lost world. And when we live lives that are lived for self, lives that are not surrendered to the change that the sanctification process brings, we can easily become hearts of stone. Hearts that cannot be written on. God cannot leave an impression and write on that heart because the heart's full of stone. We're to be a living epistle, Christ's epistle to this world, but a letter is something that is written on a prepared material. It's a prepared heart, a soft heart. Amen? Are you desirous of having a tender heart to the things of God? Are you desirous of having a tender heart to the Spirit of God, to the work of God, to let Him change you and make you what He wants you to be? Is that the desire of your heart? God wants to prepare the heart. A letter is written on prepared materials. They're fleshy. And it means soft. Fleshly. When we live like the world or even according to our own desires, that means carnality. That means carnal, which leads to stony. We need to have a soft heart, a prepared heart. Secondly, number two, a letter not only is written on prepared material, but a letter bears the expression of the writer. You write out a letter, it is a revelation of the thought, of the heart. Amen? You with me? You following this? A letter, number two, bears expression of the writer. What is put on the paper comes from the mind of the writer. His thoughts are what is put down. And when we make this a spiritual application and to be living epistles of Christ, what are we saying here? Our life needs to bear the expression of the writer, who is Christ. The way that we live needs to bear the expression and the thoughts and the heart of the writer, which is Christ. His thoughts need to be our thoughts. His words need to be our words. Amen? Look at John 17. John chapter 17, and look at verse 7. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. So Jesus is speaking here, and he's actually praying to God. And he says, they, the people, have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. So he's talking about the people that God has given to him. And he says, all of those that you've given me, they belong to you. But he says, everybody knows, in verse 8, he says, they know surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. So Jesus is really, what he's saying here is, I am bearing the expression of you, my Father. People know that I came from you. And he says, I pray for them, these people that thou hast given me, in verse 11, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. How is the world going to believe that Jesus Christ is of God? Through the testimony of the people of God. In other words, our life needs to bear the expression of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you the question here this morning. Are you spiritually minded? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Do you have the mind of Christ? Philippians says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Are you spiritually minded? Do we regularly speak of the things of God to the unsaved world around us and to each other? that's really an evidence of whether or not we're spiritually minded. Do you like to talk about the things of the Lord with each other? The blessings of God, what God is doing, to praise the name of the Lord? Or do you get really uncomfortable when spiritual conversations are started? I always am saddened when this happens. But I've seen it many times, you know. It's pretty evident when people love the Lord. They like to talk about the Lord. And a few people get together and they're talking about the blessing of God, maybe sharing some testimonies, maybe salvation testimonies, maybe something the Lord is doing, and so on. And you know, and all of a sudden, when the maybe there's a group of people standing around talking, and when the conversation switches and turns to spiritual things, those who have nothing to say, those who have do not have the same mind, all of a sudden, woo, I got something else to do. A letter, a life, needs to bear the expression of the writer. Your life needs to bear the expression of Jesus Christ. Are you spiritually minded? Number three, a letter not only bears the expression of the writer, but it also bears the signature. The signature of the writer. His name. The author, he stamps his name or writes his name, signs his name to the bottom of that letter, stating that it is from him. And you know what? The name of the Lord is and should be stamped on his people. His name, the name of Christ, should be signed off on all that we do. There shouldn't be any question as to who the author is of this letter right here is. Are you with me? Nothing of spiritual value can be done in our flesh, our Christian service, our witness, you know, whether we're singing in the choir, whether we're working in the nursery, whether we're vacuuming the floors, whether we're working in the jail ministry, Pioneer Home, it doesn't matter. Any ministry that we have, listen, it needs to be done in the power of God, not just our witness. And to God needs to be all the glory, great things that He has done. And let me ask you the question here, does your life bear the signature of Jesus Christ? Is His image stamped on your life? When people see you, do they say, hey, that person loves the Lord Jesus Christ? It's evident in their life. There's no question about it. Or is there a big old fat question mark? On your life. Well, it's going to be proved and evidenced by the things that we do, the things that we say, the way that we live, and there should be no question about who the author of this letter is. I remember after I was saved at 19 years old. I was in the public school course and graduated from high school, had all kinds of friends from high school, and I remember very distinctly after I got saved, the Lord changed my life. And infrequently, but after high school was over, you know, get together with some friends from high school and so on. And I remember just being totally different, not wanting to do the same things I used to do and hanging out with the friends I had in high school and so on. And it's not the same joy, not the same fulfillment because I was saved. The Lord changed my heart. But here's what I remember most. Is I remember what they would say to me. After not seeing them for a little while and so on, getting back together, they would say, man, you're different. You've changed. What is different about you? Why don't you act the same, or why aren't you? You're just a different person. What's up with you? And I praise the Lord for the opportunity to tell him. Let me tell you what's different about me. But the thing was, they could see a difference. They knew I wasn't the same. And really, our life ought to be that. Our life ought to bear the signature of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is no question as to who the author of this letter is. Fourthly, a letter not only bears the signature, but you know what? A letter, it needs to be legible. I don't remember how to spell this word. A letter needs to be legible, doesn't it? What good is a letter if you can't read the writing? Right? What use is a letter if it can't be understood? Or if it can't be read? And you know what? There are some professing Christians who are about as difficult to make out as the signature of doctors. You know? You get a prescription filled. I could do it myself. Just go across the bottom, and that's Dr. So-and-so, apparently. You know? But some Christians are like that. Their life is about as hard to make out as the signature of a doctor. You can't tell whether or not they're truly saved or whether or not they love the Lord. The letters are so badly formed in their life that it's next to impossible to make out. I've heard this happen before, and it's a sad, sad thing too. You know, somebody works a job for years and years and years, and they work with the same people for all those years, and then some point down the line, you know, years later, some conversation comes up, and it comes out. I think that's funny too. Trying to hide the fact that I'm a Christian. It comes out that they're a Christian, and somebody goes, "Oh, I didn't know you were a Christian." After working with them for years and years and years. What a sad, sad commentary that is. Apparently, the letters of their life are so badly formed that no one's able to read that letter. There ought to be a very distinct difference between the child of God and the lost around them. There ought to be no confusion. Amen? We ought to speak up for righteousness, while at the same time not condemning the lost for their sin in our words. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to bring that condemnation. But there ought to be no difference. Or excuse me, there ought to be a huge difference between the life of a child of God and the lives of the lost around them. We can speak up for righteousness, we can speak up for truth, and then the Spirit of God takes that truth and brings that conviction in their life. A letter should be legible. It should be readable, amen? Our life and our testimony ought to be such that there's no confusion as to who the author is, that his image is stamped on our life. And the last thing is that a letter should be free of blots. A letter should be free of blots. Let me write that down. You know, when you're, let's say you're writing a letter, and you got, you know, maybe it's nice stationery. You know how they used to do it? They would have a container of ink, right? They got their feather pen, and they'd have to dip it on their tongue, and then they'd dip it down into that container of ink, and then they would write on their paper, on their papyrus or their vellum or whatever it was that they were writing on. What would happen if all of a sudden that container of ink got spilled and knocked over? You understand what I mean? Ink all over. It would ruin that piece of paper. It would ruin that letter, wouldn't it? Or even if you're just writing a letter with your pen and all of a sudden your pen explodes. And you got this big blot of ink right in the middle of your paper on that fancy stationery. What would that do to it? Well, it would mar it for sure. Possibly ruin it, right? When we apply that in a spiritual sense, a letter needs to be free of blots. Your life and my life needs to be free of blots. If there's a big blot on the letter of your life, the letter that you send, that blot will likely be the very first thing that is noticed. So you send that letter in the mail. It didn't ruin it. It's just marred. That'll be good enough, right? Send it in the mail, and they open up that envelope, and they open up that page, and what is the very first thing that they're going to see? That blot. The blot on the page interferes with the message that's trying to be conveyed. And the same is true in the Christian life. If there are glaring faults and character flaws in our lives that the unsaved around us can readily identify, we're going to have a hard time getting the right message across, aren't we? I mean, maybe someone is truly saved, but they haven't been yielding to the Spirit of God. They haven't been letting the Lord change them and mold them and shape them. They're stuck in their own attitude. I am the way that I am. That's who I'm going to be. You don't like it? You can lump it. Not going to tell me what to do. That kind of an attitude. Rebellion to authority is also rebellion toward God. You're not going to let God work in your heart either. You know, maybe we're not talking about major, obvious things that everybody knows a Christian shouldn't do, like smoking and drinking and so on. People know Christians don't do that. We're not talking about that kind of stuff. But maybe we're talking more about a bad temper. Maybe people around you know you. I don't know about you. I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe people around someone know someone to be a person of a bad temper. They fly off the handle real easily. Maybe on the job site, you know, you're working, la 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 la, working along, and bam, you smash your finger with a thumb. Ah, blankety blank 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 blank. Maybe it's a rotten attitude towards others. Someone's irritating you, they're not doing what you want, you know, and you walk around with this attitude all day long at the job, and people are always walking on eggshells around so-and-so. Having blots, character flaws in the life distracts from the message that really is supposed to be coming out. You know? You understand what I'm saying? If maybe somebody is truly a Christian, they truly know the Lord, but these things in their life or the things that other people know them for, those are big blots in the life that hinder the testimony. Maybe someone's a gossip. You're Christian, but people know you for a gossip. These are blots on the lives of believers that hinder the message that's supposed to be coming across. A letter should be free of blots. It ought to be our desire in our heart, folks. Listen, it ought to be our desire in our heart to be as free from blots as we possibly can. Lord, I know that I am not perfect. Lord, I know that I have some problems and I have some character flaws and I don't want them. Lord, I want you to make me into your image. Lord, I want to be humble. I want to be submissive to your will and to your Spirit. Lord, make this change in me as you see fit so that I can be the image of Christ. That ought to be the heart's desire. Because nobody's perfect. But nobody's perfect should not be an excuse for staying the same. Amen. We all need to grow in the Lord. We all have a lot of maturing that needs to take place in our lives. The question is whether or not we're humble in our heart, in our spirit, or whether we're proud. I don't need to change. This is who I am. You don't like it? Lump it. What a rotten attitude. How about, Lord, I want to be the right kind of a letter so that your love and your character is demonstrated in my life to a lost world and to those around me. I want to represent you. And I know that I am not perfect. And I don't even know all my faults. And I don't even know all my flaws. So, Lord, you search my heart. And you try me. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And Lord, when you reveal it to me, help me to respond right away. And be quick to let your Spirit make me into your image. See the difference in that kind of a heart? That's a soft, fleshy heart that can be written on. And the message of the author can come out clear as crystal. Versus a fleshly, carnal, stony heart that can't be written on. Paul says to these Corinthian believers, you are the testimony, the epistle of Christ, living epistles. You know what? You and I are to be living epistles, living letters to the world of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about our testimony. Christ wants to reveal himself to a lost world, and he does that through his people. Ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. How's your heart? Is it soft or is it stony? Do you bear the expression of the writer? Is there any confusion as to who the author is of the letter of your life? Is it legible? Can people read it? Can people see and know? Is it free of blots? Things that are going to mar and possibly ruin that letter? We're to be living epistles. Why don't we ask the Lord? Why don't we ask the Lord to give us a soft heart? Why don't we ask the Lord to change us and make us into him, his image? You don't think it's important to have the right kind of testimony? You don't think that this is a serious matter? It is with God. And one day we're going to stand and give an account, aren't we? Let's be living epistles of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the truth that it lays out for us. Lord, that it can be a mirror to show us what manner of men we are. And Lord, I pray that we would be doers of the word. Father, that our hearts would be soft and tender to the truth of God. And Lord, that it would be the desire of the heart to bear the image of Jesus Christ more and more all the time. Father, that we would understand the power of a right testimony, not only to this world, but also to one another. Father, that the desire of the heart would be to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, bless your people. Father, do a work in us to mold us and to shape us and to change us. And Lord, may we be soft and malleable, and pliable, that we can be changed and not be stony and immovable. That Christ may be magnified and glorified in our life. And Father, that glory would be given to our God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.